groups with him. They had been in small groups with him, just the 12 disciples, and sometimes, I'm sure, even some one-on-one time with Jesus. But now, Jesus is telling them that he's going to send them out. Two by two, no, Jesus. And they are to share the message that they have heard from Jesus. Probably a time of excitement and also some anxiety for the disciples. It reminds me of the time when I was sent out for student teaching. I was sent to a Lutheran grade school, and it was in Lombard, Illinois, and I would be teaching the fifth grade class, working with a teacher called Mr. Baichi. And Mr. Baichi was in his high 60s and was going to be retiring, and he had a reputation of just being an outstanding teacher. So I was thrilled to think that I would work with him. And the first time that I met with Mr. Baichi, he said to me, "In all my years of teaching, this is the toughest class I've worked with. And if you can deal with this class, I think you'll be able to handle just about any class." Well, I want you to know, my anxiety at that time was a lot higher than my excitement. But I knew Mr. Baichi would be there with me. I knew I wasn't on my own. I also knew my fiancé, Jim Schmidt, was in another Lutheran school in Lombard and not too far away. Having a partner going two by two is always a good thing. Jesus gives a packing list to the disciples. Now, we just got back a week ago, I think it's only been a week. Time flies, right, Josh? We were at confirmation camp. Maybe some others are here, too. And we had a long packing list, right, of things we should bring to camp, and also a long list of things we shouldn't bring to camp. There's another one of our campers over there. Well, Jesus' list was very short. Jesus' list was, okay, you need your staff, you need your sandals on your feet, one tunic is enough, and your belt, but don't even put any money in it. No bread? Well, that's a pretty small list. The disciples had no teaching or sermon supplies to take with them, no time to write a lesson plan or prepare a sermon, but Jesus had written his message in their hearts and in their minds. And Jesus was sending them out with feet of faith, filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, they can't just sit still and wait for those that will come to Jesus. They also need to go and reach out to those that are staying in their homes, that are not hearing the new message of the new way that God is coming and showing his love to his people. Jesus' main goal is to not have them weighted down by anything. Nothing to hold them back, because the kingdom is at hand and it's time to repent. Remember what that means? To repent, to turn around and be ready for a change. It was going to be a huge change, as the people were to let go a lot of the Old Testament law and focus on the New Testament grace and mercy. Jesus is the one that people will need to trust. In our first lesson today from the book of Ezekiel, you heard about God's call to Ezekiel, but I want to read to you the verse that comes before our lesson for today. It's in chapter 1, verse 28. Ezekiel says, "Like the bow in a cloud on a rainy day, such was the appearance of the splendor all around. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of someone speaking. He said to me, 'O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you.' And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me." There are those feet again,
At first, Ezekiel falls down on the ground in bowing, in admiration, because of God's splendor and glory. How good for us to come and do that in worship. But Ezekiel is also called by God to stand up on his feet. We cannot stay in a bowed position as God's people. We need to get up on those feet and get moving. And then God warns Ezekiel, and Jesus warns the disciples that they may not be welcomed. There are some that may not want to hear their message. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a great motivational speech when you're sending somebody off to do a job. But God and Jesus know exactly what they're doing. It is part of their motivational speech, because what they are saying is, it's okay. God, the Creator, Jesus, the Teacher, we know what it's like to have people not want to hear our message. It even happens to us. The Old Testament, how many times does God try to give his message to his people, and they're always thinking they know better? Starts with Adam and Eve. Goes all the way through the Old Testament, the New Testament, and it's still happening with us. Now in Before chapter 6, which we heard today, Jesus was out performing great miracles. He was curing many. He was casting out demons. He was stilling the storm. And then chapter 6 comes. He goes to his hometown of Nazareth. And we are told Jesus could do no deed of power there, only a few healings. There is no honor for Jesus in his hometown. They kid him. They tease him about just being a carpenter, a tradesman. There's his brothers and sisters. They're just all regular folk. And then they call Jesus Son of Mary. Now, typically, you would be named for your father, like Son of David, Son of Joseph. But they are lifting up once more that when Jesus is conceived, his mother is not married. Jesus knows the hurt of not being able to reach his own family. Eddie Sutton, I don't know if any of you remember that name, but he was a former basketball coach of the Kentucky Wildcats. And he used sarcasm in explaining the great pressure that he and his team felt. Coach Sutton said, "Kentucky fans don't expect much. They just want us to win more games than we play." Well, Jesus doesn't want the disciples to feel that kind of pressure. So he says, "Hey, people don't want to listen to your message. Shake the dust off your feet. Leave it there as a reminder for them that you have come to them. You have tried to share the gospel with them. And then move on, because others will be happy to hear the message." So, would you like to be one of those disciples? Going off to tell the Jews about the big changes coming? Well, if we think we can get out of that one, look at your feet. I'm serious. Go ahead. Look at your feet. Guess what? Our shoe size is the same as the disciples. When Jesus went back to heaven, he commissioned all of us. He said, "Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And when we were baptized, for some of you, maybe even at this font, we were told to let our light shine before others, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. The disciples, although I'm sure tentative, also must have really felt honored to know that Jesus trusted them, that Jesus had filled their feet with faith and the Holy Spirit was there to help them so they could actually go out and do this already. I mean, guess what? There's 10 more chapters coming in Mark, and he's already sending them out. And we can feel that same excitement too. Because Jesus has chosen us. He's giving us that honor. In eighth grade confirmation, as some of the people know here, one of our requirements is that the kids need to be able to tell the story of the last week of Holy Week, of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. Because that's what our whole faith is based on as Christians. And if we don't know the story, we can't share the story. But we also are really blessed to have a God who does not expect that we remember all the details or have all the answers when it comes to his word. We don't even need to remember all the Ten Commandments because Jesus summed them up for us. He used the words of Deuteronomy, that written in Deuteronomy, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He says that's the summary of the commandments. In John's gospel, John writes, sorry, I'm just looking because my Bible I had marked is somehow in my office. I thought I had found it before. He says, I can't find it. I thought I had it. Sorry, I think my page slipped. But it is in John's words that Jesus says that he gives the great commandment. He says, again, that Jesus says, you are to love others the way I love you. This is my commandment, that you have love for one another. It's pretty easy, one word to remember. And we don't need to understand how God judges, because we know that Jesus has died for everyone's sins and that we are to forgive others the way God has forgiven us. Sometimes as Christians, we're afraid that we might not have just the right words to say. But you know that sometimes the words we don't say are even more important. For example, keeping it zipped is probably better when we're tempted to use our loving God's name in vain, or to judge others without having all the facts, or to use racial slurs, or to disrespect those who think differently than we, or to lose our patience, or to talk negatively about our church. I think sometimes our call, our feet of faith, have a really tough job. Often it's more important what we do than what we say or don't say, like really being willing to take the time to listen to someone, bringing meals or sending a card, saying a prayer for those going through tough times, helping at St. Ben's, visiting an elderly relative. As I mentioned, on September 13th, we have a chance to participate in God's work, our hands. I just heard that one congregation was backing out and helping, I think it was at All People's, but don't quote me on that, because the Packer Bear game is at noon that day. Question is, how many of us will be willing to set our DVDs? There is a young priest in Willa Cather's book, Death Comes to an Archbishop, who scolds an older priest for going out in bad weather on an errand of mercy without his warm clothing. The young priest exclaimed, "You will catch your death of cold." To which the older priest replied, "When I die, it will not be from a cold." but it will be from having lived. And when we put on our shoes, our sandals, as the disciples, we don't even need to knock on the door of strangers. And it's great if you feel a call to do that, or to work in world missions or wherever it might be. But for many of us, we can just let our light, and I shouldn't have said just, we can let our light shine at our jobs, at school functions, standing in grocery lines, sitting on bleachers. Excuse me a minute. Gathering at a church outing, talking with neighbors, friends, even our own family. And then we don't even have to put sandals on. We can be barefoot. Just doing our regular stuff. The hard part is to remember to pack as light as the disciples and not bring along our baggage. If we have feelings of fear, impatience, revenge, jealousy, racism, or any other ism, Jesus invites us to leave them at his feet and to not come back for them. For some of you might be going through a really tough time right now where you are carrying heavy baggage from life experiences, and that makes it tough. Matt Barr was a New York Giant place kicker. Way back in 1991, he kicked his team to win the Super Bowl. He wasn't the strongest kicker in the league physically, but he was known for being strongest mentally. And he was known for this quote, "A kicker is only as good as his next kick." Not his last one. Not the best one he's ever done in the past, but his next kick. So as we leave worship this morning, we're going to hear those familiar words, "Go in peace to love and serve the Lord." Do you realize that how you love and serve the Lord has a much greater effect on people than any sermon ever could? Jesus trusted his disciples to knock on people's doors and share his revolutionary love. And Jesus trusts us to shine wherever we are and show that love. Jesus trusted his disciples to bring the good news of peace to the Jews and later to the Gentiles. And Jesus trusts us to bring that good news and peace to those in our everyday lives. Jesus knew the disciples wouldn't be accepted well by everyone, and Jesus knows that the same will be true for us. And even though the disciples wouldn't see Jesus next to them, they knew that he loved them and that his spirit was with them. And that is true for us too. We don't have to win every game we play, especially not the ones we don't play. Jesus understands there'll be times for us to shake the dust off our feet and move on too. And when we have a chance to help someone in the cold, we don't have to run back for a warm coat, because Jesus can wrap his warm arms around us and give us all we need. And when we're on the ball field of life, Jesus will help us to focus on the next kick, not our last one. Because whatever our size, look at your feet again, God's given us awesome feet of faith. Thanks be to God for that wonderful gift. Amen.